Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good to hear you.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fabulously well. Thank you very much.
You sound crystal clear.
Good. Let's take it that way.
I shouldn't have said that. But
no, tell Jay, touch no buttons.
Touch no buttons. Yes, it's great to be here today. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to be talking about all sorts of wonderful things today. If you have any questions, you can email us when we're not on the air at openair@kzsu.org. Archives of all the shows are available at sherryhuber.com, spelled CHERIHUBER.com. And Sherry, people can see you in person also on retreat.
I think the next one is at Esalen.
That's correct. Yes.
Is that what you're...
That's correct. Yeah. Like I'm telling you.
Yeah. Huh? And do you have the dates for that one?
Yeah, the dates are July 11th to 16th. And the website is Esalen, ESALEN.org. And the retreat is called When You're Falling, Dive, Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility.
Yes. Now, people might have... might think since they've seen that title before that they have been to that workshop before, but they haven't.
It's a whole new workshop.
This will be a brand new deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, that's our new book, and everybody wants a workshop from the new book, so they're all titled the same thing. But it's up to me to make sure that they all have different material in them.
So. Yes.
Yeah. And there's another workshop coming up that people could participate in. Actually, I'm not going to be there, but it's a fun one that I would recommend anyway, that Dave McKay, our head monk and facilitator trainer, and Krista Rippens, our yoga Pilates instructor, are going to do a retreat at the monastery. And I think it's the last part of July.
It's July 21 to July 25.
Uh-huh. And it's kind of like our vacation retreats that we do, which Esalen is very much along those lines, very relaxing.
Uh-huh.
There's no working meditation.
Wow.
And, so it's a great opportunity to be at the monastery and do some introspective work, some group work, and also be able to do a lot of yoga and Pilates and have individual sessions with both of the facilitators. And I think it's be a great way to be at the monastery, especially for people who are used to going to the monastery either for a regular kind of a Zen retreat or a work retreat, a practice retreat, something like that. This is a bit different.
Yes. And I love the title also, The Zen of Yoga and the Yoga of Zen.
Yeah, The Zen of Yoga, The Yoga of Zen. That's bringing two exciting things together, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the phone lines are open here.
Hey, I wanted to say something about those phone lines. Now, what is that phone number?
650-723-9010.
Great.
I'm sure your phone has all those buttons on them.
Aha. Isn't that a good deal?
That's
so
a good deal.
So I wanted to tell you that I've been traveling a lot.
Yes.
And everywhere I go, I run into people who say, oh, I listen to you on the radio. And then they tell me who they are, and I've never heard of them.
Uh-huh.
I've never met them before.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say, well, you know, do you ever call in? Oh, no. You know, and it's this kind of, oh, no, I couldn't do that. That's too scary, or I just listen.
Yes.
And I always encourage them to call in, because I was talking with somebody earlier about this, who does participate in the radio show, and we agreed that it's much more fun to be in the conversation than just to be listening. I mean, it's great. We all talk, we all listen. But to have an opportunity to sort of bring the focus of attention to one's own individual process,
mm-hmm.
and then have the opportunity to work on something very specific is a great thing. So I just want to do a little encouragement, a little fervorino for people who kind of get past that, ooh, no, that's too scary, and dial that phone anyway. And I guess we don't dial phones anymore, do we?
Well, dial them or punch the buttons.
Kind of, we punch phones now. is there a way to talk about what we do now? Because it's not dialing.
I usually say dial or call.
Yeah. Well, anyway, do whatever.
Whatever the verb is.
Yeah, push those buttons.
Pick up the phone, yes.
And give us a call and get in the conversation. Make it something that is really personally interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that number again is 650-723-9010. The phone lines are open now, and we'd love to hear from you. And Sherry, along the lines of what you're talking about, to me, the gift of calling into the show is it's a real chance to see, you know, without judgment and with a lot of support, what's going on with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So with that idea that we talk about a lot, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us could find ourselves. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
It is. To be in a group setting, to be on a retreat or that sort of thing, and put your hands up and talk in front of a group, it's scary. And especially when we're talking about things that are so intimate.
Uh-huh.
This isn't a discussion about organic gardening or travel plans or something where we can sort of go up into our heads and intellectualize and distance ourselves from the topic. This is me at the deepest level. So it's very scary to do.
Yes.
And as soon as we step through that, as soon as we face that fear and realize that, okay, you know, my palms might sweat a little, or my heart's going to beat faster, or my breathing gets a little funny temporarily, and then, you know, we do it. We do it over and over and over, and it becomes comfortable, and this whole larger world opens up for us.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to encourage people that, number one, almost everybody feels that way. Almost everybody has that reticence about putting themselves out there. And that's what Sangha is. We support one another in moving into and through those kind of scary places. And it's really worth doing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the application is broad.
The application is broad.
Yeah, when we face that kind of fear in a situation like this, or whatever it is that comes up, you know, whatever the voices are saying, whatever it is that we're conditioned to respond to that stops us, when we face that in something like this, a situation like this, then we have that freedom in every aspect of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sherry, our efforts have borne fruit.
Very good.
All right. I'd like to welcome Laurie from Campbell. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
So you guys said to call, so I'll
yes.
call.
So here you are.
That's right.
Wonderful. What's going on?
Oh, well, you know, you just said the statement you made, how you do everything, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Uh-huh.
And that's been really powerful to me recently. I think I heard it the first time or read it in one of your books the first time just recently. And I thought, oh, no, that isn't true, you know.
I know. It's so outrageous, isn't it?
That can't be true.
Everything is. We encounter it for the first time. It's like, no, that's not true.
That's not me. Maybe it's somebody else, but not me.
Yeah.
And then,
because,
of course,
you know, I'm really complex.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not going to see my whole life in one little, no. That's not true.
It can't be everything. I mean,
right.
Maybe some, but not everything.
Exactly.
Well, it is everything.
It is.
And, you know, it's just you get something in your head, and then it starts proving itself to be true. And,
yes.
Boy, it's kind of put me into a pretty good depression.
Aha! Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Well, you know, the how I do what I do is I get overwhelmed and I give up. That's what I do. I give up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a job, a relationship, a, you know, meditation practice, it's like, mm-hmm. I'll go along and I'll get excited about something and I'll want to do it, and I'll and I'll get to the hard part.
Uh-huh.
And I can't seem to break through it. And so I, you know, there's somebody in there that says, you know, this is stupid. Why are we even doing this? You know, and I buy into it and I bail out. Mm-hmm. And I've done that my entire life.
Now, do you know, at least intellectually, that the hard part, what's identified as the hard part, is when conditioning comes in and takes over?
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I'm getting there, but no, perhaps not completely.
Yeah, so I've got this job, and I'm excited about it, enthusiastic, and it really lit up about it, and then something happens.
Right.
And the voices start in.
Correct.
And then the cases start building.
Correct.
And then there's more and there's more, and the voices are louder and more urgent and more insistent.
And they're pointing out all the ways that prove that they're right and that makes sense, right?
Yes, and that they're right, and that even though it's other people are wrong, you're wrong too. That this is, you're not going to be able to do this.
Correct.
Yeah, this is too hard. You can't make it. So,
and even though in the beginning when it was a lot, sometimes I'll get the feeling that this was destined. You know, like I'll have something will present itself, an opportunity, and it feels so right. You know, and I jump in and it feels so good. And I try to remember that. I try to look back and go, gosh, remember when you were starting this? It felt so right. And then I've even pulled back and tried to detach. At times, like, okay, so let's see if we can step back and look at this. But my feelings are so stirred up by that point, I just feel hopeless.
Yes, and your feelings are stirred up, of course, by the voices.
Right.
Yeah, and then when you try to step back, the same voices are saying, no, your feelings are too stirred up.
Right.
You see? It's it's somewhere between funny and diabolical.
Yes.
Because it's like I'm over there sitting next to you screaming, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem. Now, at first you might fall for it and think that I really have some information.
Right.
But before long, you would begin to see that the problem is me screaming that there's a problem. Right? That if I would shut up, there actually wouldn't be any problem.
Right.
And the voices in your head are exactly the same as that. So they talk you into being overwhelmed. They talk you into giving up. And then they beat you up for having given up.
Well, see, when I took the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat back in March, I just discovered the voices. I thought I was at a place spiritually where they had all come to one at that point in my life, right? And it took me a little while in the retreat to go, oh, hello, no, there are many.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that
what
was
a shock.
Yeah. And, boy, you know, it's kind of like once you see it, I mean, intellectually, and I had that great experience at the retreat. It felt life changing. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience of getting to know myself for the first time in my life.
Uh-huh.
And it was so wonderful. And now it's how many months later? Not three. And I can't seem to consistently. I mean, I'm seeing the voices. I'm hearing them. They're affecting me, but I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It's hard.
And yes, it is. And
and I want to give up. See, now the giver-upper's like, see, we need to give up.
That's right. And so here's just a little something to consider saying to the one who wants to give up.
Okay.
If giving up worked, I would go along with you. But we've given up every time.
Right.
And it hasn't worked.
Right.
So I think I'm not going to give up. Now, in truth, in fact, you've never given up.
Right.
Yeah, you haven't. You've never given up. So that's a lie that the conditioned voices are telling you. And you're believing it.
Right, because I've given up a job, but then I've found another one.
Oh, yeah. You've never given up.
I've given up a practice, but I found another one.
That's right. Given up is dead.
Yeah.
You've never given up. You know, you're going along, you're climbing up the mountain, and you get to a place where you can't go any farther, and so you go sideways for a little ways, and then you keep going again.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, so it's not true. That would be one really important thing to see.
Right.
And then I would encourage you to do what is my favorite process of all time, and that is for you, instead of trying to make things work, instead of trying not to give up, you find out how you do giving up.
Okay.
Because what's happened to you, I project, is what we call in Buddhism going farther and faring worse. So
yeah.
Now you can see all of this stuff clearly,
yeah.
But you're still taking it personally.
Yeah, and that's another one I found, yeah.
Yeah, instead of realizing, well, of course this is going to be really difficult to get through. This is eternities, plural, okay? Not just one eternity. You know, Buddhists, we like to talk in terms of big time frames. This is eternities of karma that you are extricating yourself from. It's not going to be easy. You're just going to have to work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. And the thing is that karma has nothing to do with you. So it really is an act of service, an act of compassion to clean this up. You don't have to do it. It is absolutely a matter of personal choice. So it's as if you, a woman told me this actual story, which is such a perfect karma story. She lived in this house in a city back east, and her next door neighbor, she saw very, very infrequently. She was an older, very old woman, and she saw her once in a while over the months, and then she stopped seeing her. And at some point, she became concerned, and she went over, and she knocked on the door, and nobody answered, and she turned the knob, and she opened the door, and the woman was actually trapped in her house. And what she found when she went in there is that the woman had been trapped inside this house for months. It was an absolute pigsty. It was filled with garbage. It was disgusting beyond telling. Mm-hmm. The woman had nobody in the world. Nobody. She was all alone. And this neighbor took it upon herself to clean that woman's house and take on her care. Hmm. Now, how heroic is that? She didn't have to. She could have just called the authorities.
Right.
And it would have all gone away. But she decided that it was what she wanted to do. And it's a perfect picture of what we're doing with karma. Because if we carry that forward, that house is just going to get worse and worse and worse. Okay?
Right.
So what would the authorities have done? Who knows? You know, you can take it out there as far as you want to take it. Karma has to be cleaned up to be resolved.
But how can it have nothing to do with us? Or, you know, did you say that?
Well, yes. Well, in the way that this is a neighbor. You know, this is happening next door to her.
Right.
It really doesn't, this stuff that goes on in your life doesn't actually have anything to do with you.
Hmm.
If you weren't taking it personally, you would see that these are just old, deeply ingrained habits of thinking and believing.
That I picked up along the road.
That's right. And as soon as you put them down, they're gone. Now, I'm not saying that as if putting them down is that easy.
Right.
But it is possible because it actually has nothing to do with you. For instance, if I just sprinkled a little twinkle dust over you and said, you are now incapable of feeling overwhelm.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Your life would be immediately different.
If it worked, I wouldn't believe it.
That's right. And that's, you see, that's the habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a free agent in this. You can clean this karma up. You can take this on and clean it up, knowing it has nothing to do with you, and you're willing to clean it up, because if you don't clean it up, it's just going to stay around in the universe and somewhere down the road, some little baby is going to be born with this big old load of stuff on it because you didn't clean it up.
Huh? Right.
So you could, you know, you can take responsibility and say, God darn, here I've got all this karma in my life, and I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to take care of it. And then, because you're not taking it personally, it becomes easy and enjoyable and interesting, becomes a source of energy and of compassion. When we're believing it, when we're taking it personally, when we're resisting it, we don't want to see it, it's hard, it means all this stuff. Nah.
So it's interesting then that you say taking it personally, because that's a big thing that I do. So how do you not do that?
How you don't do that is that you realize that if it were yours, if it were yours, you would be able to do something about it. Okay? So people take credit for being intelligent.
Right.
They feel superior because they're intelligent.
Right.
They feel superior because their skin is a certain color. Or because
they're attractive.
They're attractive, or they were born into some kind of circumstances. They take
Got
that
it.
Very personally. Right.
Got it.
Okay. Good.
And it has nothing to do with them.
Has nothing to do with them. Now you can say, "Thank you, boy. This is a good deal."
Right.
You know, it's like I went to an event the other day. It was a fundraiser for a little girl in the community who has leukemia. They had all of these activities going on, and I won a bicycle. How fun is that? And so, you know, does that have anything to do with me? No. But I can certainly enjoy it. I can say thank you. I can appreciate it. You know, it's very, very fun.
Huh. Well,
okay?
Yeah.
So now your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to watch very closely and carefully, step by minute step, how you move from happiness and well-being to overwhelm, to giving up.
Mm. Wow, the process that takes me to the giving up place.
That's right. So you're not trying to avoid it. You're not feeling bad about it. You're not taking it personally. It's just something that happens. It's that old saw about, you know, you're walking down the street and you fall in a hole.
Right.
Yeah. So all you're doing is figuring out how you get from walking down the street to the bottom of that hole.
Okay.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. It's just an interesting thing that you can figure out.
Hmm.
It's not going to make you a good person when you figure it out. It doesn't make you a bad person that you haven't figured it out. It's just karma.
And then
just habit.
In the seeing that, then what?
Seeing it, you're free.
Huh.
Isn't that a good deal?
That sounds
because
great.
Because in the seeing it, it's no longer believable.
Huh.
Okay? So you're going to keep in touch with us and let us know, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Excellent!
Thank you.
Thank you!
Have a great
week. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lurie. You're listening to Open Air with Terry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to hear from everybody today.
Yeah, it's so fun to have a project.
Yes.
It is so fun to have a project. If people, you know, it's just that little shift from problem to project.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love your encouragement for people to, you know, take on the project if they so choose and then come back and check in with us.
Mm-hmm.
See how it's going.
Oh, yeah. I saw this. I saw that. I realized this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, again, the conditioning is, what is it like? It's like what Americans are prone to get to if we're not careful. You know, it's complacent. It's comfortable.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's put on a few extra pounds. And it doesn't really want to move around that much. It's not interested in anything new, likes what it likes, doesn't like what it doesn't like. You know, it's got its what are they, Barco cruiser or whatever those things are, you know. It sits there and with its feet up and says, I don't think so. And so it's difficult, again, for us to get over that initial hurdle of, wait a minute, wait a darn minute, this can't be the answer.
Yes.
There's life, there's fun, exciting, interesting things to do. Mm-hmm. I used to know that when I was a child, and I want to feel that again. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be comfortable in that way. It comfortable in a way that I don't really participate. I don't see things. I don't feel alive. My heart is closed. I that's not how I want to live my life.
Yes.
Yeah, then we step into that. So what is keeping me from living the life that I know I'm capable of, the life that I want to live? How does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the answer isn't, there's something wrong with me, well, then what is it? And we can know. We can see it.
Yes.
We can be free of it.
Yes. Sherry, I have a lot of flashing lights here. All right. I'd like to welcome Nancy from Georgia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
I'm calling because I've listened for a while and hadn't called in before.
Excellent. And hopefully this won't be the last time.
I hope not either, but I tell you, conditioning tried to talk me out of it, and while I was waiting, it just kept saying, hang up, hang up.
Oh, boy, and isn't it helpful when it gets that clear?
Yes.
You're sitting there holding the phone to your ear, and a voice is saying, hang up, hang up, and you know that voice is not you, because you're the one holding the phone.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just finished There Is Nothing Wrong With Your retreat, so I think it's a lot clearer than it was before going on the retreat.
Uh-huh.
But I called partially because I'm having sort of some same feelings of overwhelm, but in a different way than the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling like conditioning is trying to talk me in or out of having a balanced life. Like, it's using saying I have a balanced life against me. I'm making myself clear.
So it says you do have a balanced life?
No,
it's a bad thing?
Saying you need to get a balanced life.
Uh-huh.
And no matter what I do, it's not balanced.
Yeah.
And so I really want a balanced life. And I'm not sure how to tell when I'm really in balance and when I'm really out of balance and when it's conditioning.
Okay. Now, not that what I'm going to say to you is going to be the answer to your prayers, okay?
Right.
But I'm hoping that you will take this on and see if it's true for you.
Okay.
Okay? All that's required to have a balanced life is to say, I have a balanced life. Okay? All you have to do is be in the moment that you're in, moment by moment by moment by moment. And we have all kinds of ways of talking about that. Okay? So you come back to the breath, you say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You come back to the breath, you say yes. Throw in a few thank yous. Okay? Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. And your life will be balanced. It may be faster than you think your conditioning thinks it should be. It may be slower. Sometimes if you could step back from yourself, sometimes you would see it goes really fast, then it goes really slow. You know, you work really hard and then you rest. But you're in sync with life. You're not outside of life deciding how your life should be. You're letting life live you.
Yeah, that's, I guess, the part that maybe feels a little slippery to me because, you know, I feel like I have so many people who are, you know, demanding time of me and I'm trying to take care of myself, and yet I feel like it's conditioning saying you're not taking care of yourself.
That's right. Well, you will never have a balanced life as long as you're in a conversation in your head about it.
Right.
Never. Mm-hmm. Because you're turning that assessment over to someone who has an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a mother?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's part of the overwhelm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you love her, and she has her issues.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not going to turn your life over to your mother.
No.
No. Uh-huh. You're not going to call her on a regular basis and say, now this is what's going on, how do you think I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
You don't want to turn it over to that voice in your head either.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the biggest part. I mean, this is a two-pronged thing, and they both come down to the same thing. You're learning to just be in the moment with life. And you're learning not to look anywhere for information about how you're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's one of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I know that place.
Yeah, that's critical, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, that's what it is. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me then, because for so long, I don't think I trusted my own experience of,
yes,
of everything.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So you're learning to turn to a whole new authority for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an authority that doesn't have an agenda.
Ah.
And that authority, we could name that authority conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the struggle of getting balanced, it's actually finding the right person to listen to, which is the compassionate awareness.
That's right. That knows that when you are present with life, you can't be anything but balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to look like anybody's standards about that.
Right.
But, you know, just for fun, if you look at nature, everything in nature is balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And is always finding a balance, is always moving toward equilibrium.
Right.
And sometimes things get a lot of rain. Sometimes there isn't any. Sometimes
right.
It's really cold. Sometimes it's really hot. Now, human beings want to create a secure water supply and good air conditioning. And that's what they think of as balanced.
Right.
If my hydration is always perfect and it's always 72 degrees, I have a balanced life.
Mm-hmm.
But you might want to look at, what does that actually mean? Do you actually, what you actually want, does it look more like enough bottled water in 72 degrees? Or does it look more like Aikido,
mm-hmm,
where you're always ready to move in any direction that is required of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that, because I don't think I've been able to find that place of ready to move in any direction. And I think that sounds like a much more flexible, and you know, it sounds like it would feel better.
Yes. Now, it'll set off the voices in your head like crazy. But if you can learn to drop your awareness and attention down to your center, you know, down to kind of right below your navel,
uh-huh,
when you can at first practice it just with walking, because you don't need your head to walk.
Right.
Yeah. So to practice dropping your attention and awareness down to what's called the hara and move from there.
Uh-huh.
Just practice that and feel how balanced it feels, how grounded, how centered it feels. Mm-hmm. And then as you have that feeling, you realize that you can move everywhere in your life from there. And you're going to be present, and you don't know, you don't need to know what you're going to say. You don't need to rehearse. You don't need to do any kind of post-mortem on what happened in the past. You don't, none of that is necessary. Whatever is needed here, now, will be supplied to you.
Mm-hmm. So it's very relaxing in that moment, then there is no reason for overwhelm.
That's exactly right, because life never, ever gives us more than we can do, ever.
Yeah, and I've noticed that saying no to people, you know, that whole idea of what resists persists, it's just, it's been painful
to say
no, no,
no. It's a red flag in front
of a bull. I'm
sorry? It's a red flag in front of a bull.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, because every time I say no to someone, no, I need to make time for myself, I need to do this for me, then it's like five more people call me and say, I need you to do this.
Yep. There's a wonderful little book that maybe you've read called The Miracle of Mindfulness by Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah, and in the front of it, do you remember, he's talking with a man, I think the guy's name is Alan, and Alan doesn't have any time for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidance is, your time with your wife is time for yourself. Your time with your child is time for yourself. Your time with your work is time with yourself. Mm-hmm. There's no part of your life that isn't for you.
It should all be integrated instead of separate.
And when it's all integrated like that, and yes is what integrates, no, separates, yes, integrates. Mm-hmm. When it's integrated, it'll feel balanced.
Well, that's definitely something I want to try and see, at least see what the voices say.
That's right. It's a grand project. And once again, if you report back to us, it would be a great service for all of us.
Oh, I will.
Good.
Now that I've conquered the fear once, I can do it again.
Exactly. Piece of cake.
Exactly.
Thank you
so much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, it's great to hear from everybody this week, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
You
know, I heard something in that last conversation that I really, really liked.
Uh-huh.
No separates, yes integrates.
Yes.
That was very good. That was kind of a T-shirt moment, wasn't it?
It's a T-shirt moment.
Yeah, T-shirt wisdom.
Yeah, kind of like the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Good.
Great. We're going to take a break here, and we have two callers still to talk to.
Excellent.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, I was just thinking about what you were talking about at the beginning of the show, of being in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting.
It's the place to be, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, especially a conversation like the ones we have, because it's difficult not to be present.
Yes.
And be in this conversation. It's dangerous, as a matter
yes.
of fact.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah, so we're here and we're fully present and engaged with one another, and it's great practice for the rest of life.
Yes, yes. All right, let's get back in conversation. I'd like to welcome Tom from San Jose. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry and Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
How are you?
Great.
Doing well, thank you. You?
Much better.
Oh, very good. Do you have a report for us?
I have. If you recall, my wife and I were having some difficulties with conflict.
Yes.
And
there were some in-laws and a baby involved.
There were in-laws, babies, yeah, all kinds of things. And, you know, we've been working very hard over the past couple weeks on this. And I can say the conflict is definitely much less today than it was.
Good.
Which
what's happened?
Good. We met, you know, I met with a counselor on my own. We met with one together. You know, we kind of continued the work that we had been doing. And, you know, we did a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of listening, I bet.
Yeah, you know, a lot of listening. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I talked to you last after that, we had a pretty heavy discussion. And it was like World War III in certain places. Mm-hmm. But it ended up okay. You know, we've ended up at a place where we're both kind of looking with new eyes at the situation.
Uh-huh.
And we're both kind of at a place where we're learning rather than, you know, trying to control the situation.
Uh-huh. Trying to be right.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the very important things that I realized about it, our particular situation, about the content that I hadn't realized, was that the situation was me against them. It was me against my wife and her parents.
Mm.
And once I saw that, a lot of things became much clearer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for some reason, I couldn't see it.
Right. Well, we don't. We don't see things until we see them.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I won't see it till I believe it kind of thing.
Right.
But once I did, it was much clearer at that point. And it was much clearer for both of us. You know, once she saw that, it was much clearer for her as well that, yes,
uh-huh,
this has to change.
Uh-huh. Right. And I know we talked about this the last time, but what a gift for this child.
Yes.
To grow up in a household where people talk to one another and they listen and attempt to see the other person's viewpoint and be open to it, not take things personally, not have to get defensive.
Yep,
because,
that's right.
Of course, that child is going to get to an age sooner than you think where if what's modeled is, I'm right, you're wrong, take up a defensive position and fight to the death,
uh-huh,
then those teenage years are going to be rugged.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way I've been looking at it is that, you know, we don't have to be perfect. But if she can see people getting in conflict and getting rather ugly and resolving it anyway, that's a very good lesson rather than trying so hard and getting so stressed trying to make sure it never, ever gets to that level,
mm-hmm,
that it gets to that level.
Oh, well, and that people walk off and leave one another,
yeah,
rather than go to that level.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm really looking at today, is what is it for me with respect to conflict avoidance?
Uh-huh.
And that's been a very interesting thing to look at.
Uh-huh.
And what I discovered was that part of me believes that there's a belief system going on where if this argument gets to a certain point, it will damage the relationship in an irreparable way.
Yeah. And what I think I hear you realizing is, if it doesn't get out, the relationship is going to be irreparably damaged.
That's right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, because everybody just closes their hearts, hunkers down, and starts surviving. And, boy, I can look around at the world and project that there are an awful lot of people who have gotten to that point in their relationships.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to affect me. You're never going to get to me again. I'm here, but I'm not here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with that.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah,
you know,
I know that very well.
Uh-huh. Good for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, things are better today. You know, we're...
Wonderful.
We're talking. We're slowly coming to better understandings about it. We're actually kind of taking baby steps with respect to conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've made a list of all the things that I don't talk about because I think they're too much conflict.
Uh-huh.
And kind of ranked them by what would be easiest and what would be hardest.
Wow.
And we're kind of going through the easy ones.
I think there is some serious intimacy going on here.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're leading the way. You're opening the door and modeling the behavior, and it's going to free everybody up to be able to be authentically who they are in the relationship.
Yep, that's right, and that's all I could hope for. You know, I don't want her to be what I am. I don't want her even to be what I want her to be. I just want her to be herself.
Yes.
And yeah. that's what we're doing. We're just being ourselves with each other, and it's really transforming everything.
When you can be yourself, you can be very generous about everyone being who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Yes, yeah, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thanks for getting back to us. You know, Michael and I are constantly saying, now, let us know, and almost
right.
nobody does, so thanks.
Sure,
it's
anytime.
Great. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you too, Michael.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. It's been a very fun show tonight. Lots of people calling in.
Yes. Did we lose one, or do we still have time?
We still have time, and we still have a caller.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Rose from Escondido. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
Good
Hi.
Evening.
Well, this wait my turn time has been very productive because... The voice was very loudly telling me, oh, hang up, which I wasn't paying attention to. But the reason it was telling me to hang up is because it was telling me that you never say what you really want to say. And then I had this insight that, you know, it's because you sit there and rehearse what you're going to say. And then when you're talking, you try to remember what it is you rehearsed,
yes.
which means you're in the past and you're really not in the moment.
Very good. And then you get finished. And you haven't met the standard, which
right.
is the whole point, and then you get beaten up
yeah.
and told that you shouldn't even try to communicate because you can't do it well.
Exactly.
Woo!
So
that's
phew.
Uplifting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm so glad I had to sit here and wait.
Right. All that happened on hold.
Yeah, I think I'm done. No, actually.
Right.
Actually, the reason I was calling is that a couple of weeks ago, during one of the live shows, I guess they're all live, but during the show, you and Michael in the beginning were saying something about, oh, life is good and things are going well and da-da-da, and then just on an offhand comment, you said, oh, yes, well, when it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, life is always good.
Uh-huh.
And I about fell out of my chair. I mean, I sat up and I went, oh, I mean, I know that, but I mean, I really got it.
Uh-huh.
And
went straight into the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've used it this last several weeks. I find myself, in fact, the previous conversations have addressed this somewhat, because when I would find myself saying, oh, no, I don't want to do that, I've learned to recognize that every time I say, I don't want to, it's like, oops, who is this? This isn't,
mm-hmm.
this is conditioning. And so, yes, integrates, no, separates. And I've really been seeing how when I start resisting things in my life, I feel real separate and really
uh-huh.
unhappy and miserable.
Uh-huh.
And I've even noticed, like today I got a phone call and somebody outlined a situation that I really didn't want to go into. I didn't want to. But just part of me went, you know what? If that's what life is presenting me, then that's where I need to go next.
Uh-huh.
And it was a relief. And it just felt really good.
Yeah. And in that moment of acceptance and letting go and presence, you have everything in life that you want.
Everything that I what?
That you want.
Want. Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, the whole, the myth, the illusion or delusion is that if I stay here and dig in my heels and create my boundaries and make life be the way I want it to be, then I'll feel the way I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But how I want to feel is the way I feel when I just say yes to life.
Exactly.
You know, when
exactly.
I'm here and I'm present, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how I want to feel.
Uh-huh. And it's
so it's exactly the opposite of what conditioning is telling us.
Yeah, yeah. Because conditioning is saying, oh, my gosh, if you don't control what's going to happen, then your life is going to be a mess and you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
And in truth,
I listen to the voice that tells me that kind of thing, I'm going to be unhappy.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
I just
so
wanted
funny.
To thank you for that flip comment, because it was one of those times when, I mean, it just made me sit up and listen, and it just really went.
And you've been applying it.
I have been. So
yeah.
I just wanted to share that with you. And and report back that that really made a big difference.
Good.
So, and I really like just that your summary here, yes, integrates, no separates. I mean, yeah.
Kind of it, isn't it?
That is. That is a great T-shirt moment. In fact, I'm putting that one on my wall.
Right. you know, it's so incredibly simple. But my God, getting to it is, like going through a lifetime of landmines.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, all the little voices already, I can hear the conditioning in the background saying, well, but what if somebody asked you to do this? You know, and it's like, well, and I really don't like to do that. I really don't want to do that. Or, you know, that's not something I really, you know, want in my life.
Uh-huh.
Would you, you know, what do you say? So do you end up saying yes to everything?
Well, you know, I do. and it's worked out really well. I don't know why, but it does. You know, I could see that somebody could say, yeah, I started to say, maybe it's my age, so I don't get it asked as many things, as I used to, that I might not want to do. But I don't get the kind of offers I used to get anymore, which is relaxing.
Yeah.
And so, yes, essentially I do. I just say yes to everything. Somebody says, you know, you want to come here? Will you come here? Sure. Will you come here and do that? Will you do this? And then life just takes care of it. You know, it works out. It happens right away. It happens later. It doesn't happen. The person loses interest. They go away. It falls through the, you know. But I don't ever have to plan anything or decide anything.
Wow. Now, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that you can even say no and it can still be yes to things. Because, for instance, my husband just went off on a vacation that he wanted to take to go somewhere, and I really didn't want to go there. I really was focused on a project I'm doing, and I thought, oh, this would be a great opportunity for me to have some quiet time to focus and do this. So I said no to the vacation, but yes to my heart's desire, which was to stay home in the quiet and write.
Yeah. So you had essentially been asked two things. You'd been asked to stay home and write.
Uh-huh.
And you were asked to go on this vacation.
Right.
And then you looked to see what happened.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And was he fine with it?
Yeah. Because first I said yes. And then I said, you know, my truth is I really don't want to go. I really want to stay home and do this. And however, if it's really important to you, I will go.
There you go.
And
that frees him up to say,
he said, oh, no, you know, I could use that time, too, and, you know, let's just see what happens. So it worked out just fine. So I guess I'm just trying to get clear that should I have said, if, you know, here's the vacation, oh, I should
have
said yes.
Well, see, you did. You did say yes.
Okay,
you did say yes.
I did initially.
And then what happened in the conversation that followed that was it became clear that you didn't need to do that, that there was something else. That happens to me all the time. I'll say yes, and then all kinds of things happen. Saying yes doesn't mean something is necessarily going to go that way.
Oh.
Life is constantly just switching things, changing things. It's amazing. But I don't have to say no. I don't have to try to control it. I don't have to go to my conditioned mind and say, oh, no, I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that. It just happened. I was somewhere, and the people I was with wanted to go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really particularly want to go out to dinner because I didn't particularly want to have dinner with people who were going to be on the other end of the invitation for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't an evening that I looked forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But I said yes because I was asked. So I went, and the people didn't show up. Great.
I got it.
Yeah. It is a matter of faith. You know, it's trusting life. You know, when I get really tired, miraculously, stuff cancels. When I, like that.
Yeah, and I'm really getting that. I'm really trusting that life will give me what I want or need when I want or need it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about want, need it.
Yeah, the want, if it's from the heart, yes. If it's from conditioning, in my experience, almost never.
Yeah. So, it doesn't matter.
Hey, thanks for that.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm, take care, bye-bye.
Say yes.
Thanks for joining us, Rose. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Coming up after Open Air is legendary DJ David Bug with a great show called Live in Your Ear. Stay tuned for that. Sherry, we have one more caller here, and David Bug has graciously given us a couple extra minutes if you'd like to talk to this caller. Great.
That's very kind.
Yes. I'd like to welcome David from Menlo Park. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to make a quick report that I got a chance to put something to work that I heard on the show, and it was just amazing. I'm sitting in Sangha, and oh no, here comes this lady to sit next to me who is always moving and twitching and coughing and blah, blah, blah. And I was just focusing on every time she moved her leg or every time she moved her arm. And all of a sudden I said, you know, just make her your best friend. Just decide how you would feel about all this happening if that was your very best friend sitting next to you. And then in Kenyan, she's always like walking really, 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 really slow, and I hate being behind her. And so when Kenyan was over, she went and sat on the other side of the zendo and was like, as far away from me and out of my consciousness as I could possibly want to have happen. So I just
She didn't want to be your best friend.
Whatever. I just wanted to say thank you for that thought that you just turn it around, make them your best friend.
Isn't that good? And it works.
It worked so well.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Thanks, David.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. What a great show, Sherry.
What fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
I think we can rest our case. It is definitely the maximum amount of fun when lots of folks are in the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, not that you're not a delightful.
I mean, clearly, I am the most delightful.
The most delightful. And then when others join us, it just gets better and better.
Yes. 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 It's great to have you with us today, Sherry.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Yes. If you want to contact us when we're not on the air, send us an email at openair@kzsu.org. Archives of the show are on Sherry's website, sherryhuber.com, spelled sherryhuber.com. Had some fabulous support today with JR Engineer and Michael on the phones. Thank you both.
Hardworking guys.
Hardworking guys. Reliable hardworking guys.
The best kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night.